Church this morning. I'm glad to be back. I feel like I've been gone forever. This morning, Lauren Rippey said, "Patrick, you shaved," and I told her, "Camp's over. I have to be a grown-up now." So it's good to be back. Do we have?
You have to be a grown-up?
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
9 months out of the year, I get to be a grown-up. Are there any visitors this morning? First-time visitors?
Locally in the Prince County, we've
Are there any other announcements this morning? Prayer requests. Are there any prayer requests or praise reports? Yeah, you. I had one when we were at Triennium last week. I don't know if anybody knows what the Cumber List is, but it's really just kind of a, what would you call it, a network where people from the denomination can make announcements and prayer requests and then debate over sometimes silly theological stuff. But while I was there, I got an email saying that there was something on the Cumber List, and it was a prayer request for my grandmother, and she had been rushed to the hospital. They thought that she had had a stroke. She's home now, but they're still, I think, a little concerned that something big could be coming. So if you just keep my grandma in your prayers. Her name's Pat. I was named after her. Any others? If not, let's just take a moment of silent prayer and recognizing that Jesus is here with us by the lighting of the candles. Please stand with me with this morning's call of worship. Praise the Lord who spoke the word which created the grandeur of the heavens. Praise the Lord who created trees and plants, animals and birds.
Praise the Lord who created the fragile
Praise the Lord, the Word, who became flesh and who lived among us.
Let us open our minds and our hearts to receive your truth And let us open the fullness of our whole body, mind, and soul, that we might worship you, that we might lift holy hands to you, that we might shout and sing and pray. Just let us worship you. Lord, we come in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
You may be seated. You going to do energizers now?
Yeah, we're going to do energizers.
Let me tell you about the week a little bit. Did you say anything before? I was kind of busy.
No.
Wow. It was that kind of week, wasn't it, Lauren? Woo! 5,000 people. I don't know if that was 5,000 youth, then plus the workers or not, but at least 4,500 youth at Purdue University. We had 2-hour worships. Are you ready for that today?
Yes, bring it up.
And I was not wanting it to be over. We had 1-hour sermons. I didn't want them to stop. We had a great week. That's how we need to worship God. We have got to be unwilling for it to be over. It's got to continue all week until we come and get energized again. Energizers was jazzercise, I guess you'd call it. I don't know. Music and all kinds of body motions that I can't do anymore. But it was a great week. And we have leadership from our denomination. It's a combination of Presbyterian denominations. We didn't have 5,000 kids there. Combination of Presbyterian denominations, and the leadership that was there was predominantly Cumberland Presbyterian, although we were one of the smaller denominations. So we had great leadership there. We had great participation. If I wasn't so old, I'd go back in 3 years. But it was great. Patrick.
We added it up. I don't know if you've ever been to the campus of Purdue University. But I think I walked 5 to 7 miles a day just going back and forth to places. I mean, it was ridiculous. I thought I'd lose weight, but I think I gained like 20 pounds just in leg muscle. It was a stretch. If you'll follow along with me and join with me in our saying the Apostles' Creed, and this is just to remind us what it is that we believe in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
call to confession this morning. Remind us, O God, that even when our love falters, your love remains constant. Fill our hearts and minds with Jesus' selfless love. Please join with me in our prayer to confession. Gracious and loving God, as we reflect on the wonder and glory of your being and the depth of your love for us, we are conscious of our failure to learn from you and from sacrificial love of Jesus. So often our understanding of glory is linked with prestige and power and position. Jesus' understanding of glory was linked to a love that was prepared to the uttermost limits of love. Forgive us when selfish pursuit of glory takes precedence over Jesus' command to love one another. Amen. My friends, hear these words of assurance. God makes all things new. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Everything has become new. Friends, believe in the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are loved, we are blessed, and we are forgiven. Our offertory sentence this morning: bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse so that there may be meat in my house, says the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward?
Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Lord,
decided I don't think they should have done that, because now there's no excuse not to have music at youth group. It's five youth, so they're in trouble now. Miss Andrea, do you have a children's message? Will the children please come forward?
New hymnal, at least not this tune. So
So we need to teach it to them. These girls are, and guys, here's your brother, are great singers. And they'll learn it quickly. But if y'all remember all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. And remember what Miss Andrea said about things that are bright and beautiful on the outside and especially on the inside. Okay? It starts way up.
Say this, but would you like to welcome Mr. James Taylor to the front, to the stage?
Pleasure it is to be with you this morning. I've been looking forward to it since John Rippey called me some time back, and I've had your congregation in your search committee in my prayers as you look for a new pastor. I understand Brother Larry has been here forever, and I know that you will greatly miss him. Thanks to the Hatfields. That was beautiful. Ted, you just did a wonderful job with your children, and I enjoyed that. I was so edified by it. And I appreciated the children's church. Is it Andrea that led that? I'm not sure if I've got all the names, but I love that story about Dustin and all the lessons that came from it. You see in your handout this morning, I'd like to do the few weeks that I am with you, just a brief segment on Spotlight on the Hymns. And so in a moment, I will do that. Today's hymn will be Amazing Grace, so we'll take just a moment and look at that, and then I want to talk to you about heaven just a little bit. But, I think a good sermon is a lot like a biscuit. It's always better with shortening, and I'll try to remember that this morning as I talk. I could talk about heaven for 2 hours, as Sam was talking about the lesson, but I promise not to do that. It's sort of like a friend of mine told me recently. He was invited to speak at a congregation in North Alabama. It was a rural congregation. He didn't know anybody there, he said. And when the service was over with, he was at the back of the sanctuary shaking hands with people as they were leaving, and some elderly man came up to him and said, "Preacher, what are you doing with that Band-Aid on your face?" And he said, "Well, this morning while I was shaving, I was thinking about my sermon, and I cut my face." And the old man said, "Well, you ought to have been thinking about your shaving and cut your sermon." You may feel that way as well before I get through, but I'll promise to do my best. As we look at this song, Amazing Grace, in just a minute, we're going to listen to it. It's got three stanzas, and on the third stanza, you listen to the first two, and on the third one, I'd like to invite you to stand with me, and let's sing along together on that third stanza. But of course, as all of you know, it was written by a man named John Newton. He was born in 1725, and he died in 1807. And as a child, Newton's mother was the only Christian influence in his life. She died when he was still young. His father remarried and sent John Newton away to a military school. Not being used to the strict discipline, he dropped out. He said, "I wanted to learn to skillfully navigate a ship, and so I signed on with a sailing vessel. Soon thereafter, I was exposed to the most sinful lifestyle imaginable. I became a reprobate and a sinner of the worst kind. I was dishonorably discharged from the ship, desiring to distance myself as far as possible from those who knew me. I caught a ship for Africa. While there, being hungry and near starving, I went to live and work for a slave trader. The man was married to a black woman. She was rude and made me to eat off the floor and would often scourge me with a whip. My spirit was still not broken. I soon fled to the coast. I built a large fire on the shoreline to attract a nearby sea vessel. It was a slave ship, and the captain, thinking I might be a slave trader, responded to my fire, to my signal, to purchase slaves. When he learned otherwise, he became angry and agreed to take me on board because of my experience at sea and my abilities at navigation. I worked on the ship for a lengthy period. The large sailing vessel would hold as many as 600 slaves in the quarters below. One night I opened a case of rum and intoxicated the entire crew. The captain had me flogged, the first of several beatings. I was often in prison with the slaves and given stale bread and spoiled vegetables to eat. On one occasion I was thrown overboard. In order to retrieve me, the captain had me harpooned and dragged back to the ship. I was left in the slave quarters below with a wound in my side large enough to stick your fist in. As I laid on my deathbed in the darkness on the wet floor of the ship's dungeon, I remembered the words of my Christian mother and shouted at the top of my voice to the God of heaven for his mercy and his grace. And he heard my cry. I was delivered. And I spent the rest of my life sharing the gospel. Time and time again, the assemblies and the attendance of people would swell beyond the building's capacity to hold them as people came from great distance to hear me tell of my reprobate life and God's arm of grace as he reached out to me. Before death, I, John Newton, decided to put my life to verse and penned a hymn that has been one of the favorites of all time. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see."
Oh.
Father in heaven, I am so thankful for your amazing grace. I'm thankful that my hope of heaven, Father, is not dependent upon performance-based spirituality. It's not dependent upon my works, upon my being good enough to go to heaven. But it's totally dependent on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. My justification is a declared righteousness, not an earned righteousness. And so, Father, we give you thanks for your amazing grace this morning that fills our hearts with great hope and anticipation of that eternal home where we shall be reunited with all of our loved ones in that place that's called heaven. So I pray your blessing on our study this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would sort of lift these words off the page that we may relate and identify to the teachings therein. Father, we're grateful for this congregation, and I pray your blessing on us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to power this thing down because I learned a lesson a few moments ago. Ted warned me that it might happen, and right when Sam or whoever was up speaking, all of a sudden that song just started in, and it may start back again. So this morning, just for a brief few minutes, I want to turn your thoughts toward heaven. Can you possibly imagine what it's going to be like to approach the pearly gates and to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." I share with you this morning from Revelation just a moment. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. They were from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne. And in a loud voice, they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'The dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" My friends, there is no way possible that I could stand before you this morning and describe how wonderful heaven is going to be. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, neither has there entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." You know, there are so many hymns in our songbooks that refer to heaven. "Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth's toiling ended, oh glorious dawning, beyond the sunset when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. Oh day of gladness, oh day unending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, oh glad reunion with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting, beyond the sunset forevermore. I love that stanza where it says, beyond the sunset, oh glad reunion with our dear loved ones who've gone on before. My wife and I, Dawn, have historically, ever since I've known her and her family, attended a family reunion that is on her side of the family. We go every summer, and I look forward to it because for once in the year, I get to see her entire extended family and eat food. It's just unbelievable. You can relate to it. I'm sure you go to these family reunions as well. But I want to tell you about a family reunion like I've never heard of before. When R.G. Lee was a little boy, he was visiting with his grandmother out on the front porch. He was lying on his stomach with his hands sort of propping up his face, looking at his grandmother who was working on some vegetables. And he said, "Grandma, what was the happiest day of your life?" And he expected her to say, "Well, the happiest day of my life was the day I married your grandpa. Or the happiest day of my life was when your mother was born." But she didn't say those things. She said, "First, let me tell you about the saddest day of my life. I was about your age, and I was out here on this same front porch when a man came down that lane and told my mother that my daddy had been killed in the Civil War. That was the saddest day of my life. I loved my daddy, and I missed him. My mother tried to be strong, and I would often hear her in the bedroom at night crying. The happiest day of my life came several months later. My mother and I were out there on this same porch. And she was sitting there in a rocking chair breaking some beans, and I heard her say, 'My word, that sure looks like your daddy coming down the road.' And I said, 'Now, Mama, don't be foolish. You know that daddy's dead.' And I looked at her, and her jaw dropped open, and she leaped to her feet out of that chair, beans just spraying in every direction. And she said, 'My child, that is your daddy.' And my mother ran down that lane. Instantly, I looked up and I stared down the road and I recognized his gait. That was my father running toward my mother. They had been wrong. He hadn't been killed in the war. They embraced and I ran and got in the middle of that huddle and we hugged and hugged. And that was the happiest day of my life." Now, my friends, you have not had the happiest day of your life yet. God's word promises that day is going to be so happy. It'll come when you yourself walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you meet Jesus and He says, "Welcome, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And you look over His shoulder and say, "Hey, there's my daughter, or there's my sister, or my friend, or my grandchild." And you'll embrace and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And there'll be no more pain, nor sorrow, nor death, for all these former things have passed away. Let me ask you a question. Do you see that as wishful thinking? Do you think that's just religious fantasy? No, my friends, that's God's promise. And let me tell you, He always keeps His promise. Well, before we go to heaven, I've got some bad news for you. We've got to all walk through the valley of the shadow of death in order to get there. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, "To everything there is a season. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to weep. There's a time to dance, and there's a time to mourn. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die." Somebody once asked Henry Van Dyke, "What is it like to die?" And he said, "I once stood on a seashore, and a ship at my side raised her white sails to the morning breeze and started for the blue ocean. She was an object of beauty and strength. And I stood and watched her for a few moments, and pretty soon she hangs like a cloud where the sea and the sky come to mingle with each other. And then someone at my side said, 'There she is gone.' Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mass and hull as she was when she was at my side. She is just as able to transport her cargo to a distant port. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side said, 'There she is gone,' other eyes were watching her coming. And other voices ready to take up the glad shout, 'Look, here she comes.' And that, my friends, is dying. I suppose medical science would define death as a straight line on EKG, but the Holy Word of God defines death as a separation of the body from the spirit. The body goes back to the dust of the earth from whence it came, but the spirit goes back to God who gave it. 'From dust thou art, to dust returneth,' was not spoken of the soul. When we go to a funeral, and what a sad day it is, there before us in a casket lies our loved one, and it's just the abandoned house that they once occupied. It's that jar of clay, the earthen vessel, the earth suit that they walked around in, and it will go back to the dust of the earth from whence it came. But their spirit, their soul, their personality, the real mom or dad that you've loved these many years, has gone back to God who gave it. And the scriptures teach to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." I'm going to read several scriptures that this morning in the course as we study about heaven, but I want to raise a question as we segue into this. That question is, do you fear death? I know at times I have a great deal of apprehension about that day, because I've never experienced before. And just to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I wished I could take the veil that separates you and I from the eternal beings, such as the demons and the angels and the throne of God that I know is occupied. I wished I could just pull that veil back and let you just look into eternity for a few moments. But it doesn't work that way. We walk by faith, not by sight. But do you fear death? The scripture says that we should not fear death. Jesus himself said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God." Jesus said, "Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In your heart of hearts, do you really believe that Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you"? That He has an eternal home beyond this life. You know, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." I have a hard time understanding that scripture. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I think few of us would describe a funeral service as precious, would we? But that's because we're looking at it from this side of eternity. You see, from our perspective, our loved one's passing is a homegoing. But let me tell you something. From God's perspective, it is a homecoming. And so precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. There was a little boy, when I think about fearing death, and I'm trying my best, my objective right now is to penetrate your thinking on this, that I know we walk by faith and not by sight, but Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled about that. The little kid was maybe 3, perhaps 4 years of age, I'm not sure, but he was riding with his father. It was a hot summer afternoon. He was in his dad's truck, and this bee flew in the truck, and the kid began to panic. I mean, he hated bees. He was literally jumping all over the front seat of the cab of that truck trying to avoid that bee. And after a few seconds, the bee lands on the dashboard. And as the father's driving along, he sort of reaches out and cups that bee in his hand, and immediately the little boy began to settle down. His panic diminished. And after a few seconds, the father opened his hand, and the bee flew away, and the boy screamed, Daddy, why did you let the bee go? And the father opened his hand, and he showed his son a huge welt on his palm. And he said, Son, you'll never